Let's Talk Tech. Rae Johnson is the editor of Junkie and she joins me now. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Have you ever lied in your CV?
I haven't, actually. I'm too terrified to lie. I'm too scared. I'll be found out.
Me too. I'm always like, someone would know.
Right? And I'm way too open about myself online. Someone would know automatically.
Oh, look, you know, I reckon you'd be able to find out what we've been doing for a while. All right, let's get straight into this. Really interesting findings have come out of a new report. Tell us a bit about the Digital Australia 2020 study.
Yeah, so this is a report that is released by the Interactive Games and Entertainment Association. They work with universities, in particular Bond University, and it's been conducted since 2005, and it gives us a really good idea about who plays video games and why they play and how they play it and really what joy it's bringing to people's lives, particularly for Australians. And I think it's really important because there are still some pretty strongly held stereotypes as to who a gamer might be. And year after year, we're actually seeing this report smash those stereotypes, which I'm pretty pleased about.
Okay, so older Australians into gaming?
Yeah, it looks at who the average gamer is, really. That's one of the most powerful insights that comes out of this. So, you know, 2/3 of us are playing video games, and 9 out of 10 homes have a device on which they can play games. 78% of players are aged over 18 years, so it's firmly not a kid's one. The average age of a gamer is 34 years old. Half of those are female. And 42% of people aged over 65 years are playing video games, which I find fascinating and wonderful.
I find that fascinating and wonderful too. All right, let's move on to this other topic because I need to pick your brain on it.
No worries.
Anyone on Twitter this week has had their world turned upside down. Okay, I might be slightly exaggerating, but what happened?
Twitter changed its layout. So this was something that was rolled out to selected users. It was something that some people could opt into for the last few months. But basically, if you've gone on Twitter in the last week, you've probably got the new one. The mobile format is still pretty much the same, but the new look for Twitter, you can put a dark mode on, so your background's black or dark grey. You can change the size of your font, which I think is really useful for accessibility reasons. You can change up the colour, but where things are located are just kind of all over the place. So it's like getting to learn how to use Twitter again, really.
Yeah, well, you don't need to keep learning new things. Why are they doing that to us? What's your personal verdict? Is it make it better or is it just too much of a steep learning curve for you?
Oh, look, I think it's one of those things I'm going to forget what it used to be like in about a week's time and so will everyone else. But it is a bit of a shock. I think when you get used to something looking a particular way that you use on a daily basis and it's all just messed up and you don't know where anything is. But I think that this is, well, it's the first time that Twitter has really rebuilt the site from the ground up. So they're laying a really good foundation to be able to add more features that we really want. So maybe they'll let us edit tweets in the future. That would be lovely.
Oh, please. Right? That is one thing that I would love because I'm a bit fast on my tweets and sometimes there'll be a spelling mistake just because I misread it. And then you can't edit it. You've got to delete and read. I mean, it's actually quite, I know it sounds like a first world problem and my friends, it certainly is. That's exactly what this is. But it is a little frustrating, right?
It is. And especially if you go back to, you know, look at a tweet that's gotten a lot of attention and that's when you notice that there's an error and you have to do the follow-up tweet that's like, oh, that was my fingers. I'm an editor. I swear I know how to spell.
Yeah, you're like, no, I'm not stupid. Right? Or maybe I am, but not in this specific case. So what are they actually doing? I mean, there's obviously a business case behind trying to overhaul something like this. What do they want to do?
Yeah, I think Twitter are really looking at making it a better place for users, which I think sounds like a little bit of a cop-out these days because everyone's kind of screaming at them to just remove Nazis from the platform. But when you look around at what other social media platforms are doing at the moment, like, you know, Facebook and by extension Instagram, they are really looking at the social well-being of their users. So I think that this is Twitter laying the foundations to be able to bring in a whole bunch of new features that will really benefit us in the long run to help make, you know, reporting of things a little bit easier and removal of terrible tweets a little bit easier, and to just make it easier to follow people that we want to be engaged with, really, and to be able to find the content that we want to find.
Lastly, it seems that artificial intelligence still has some way to go. What kind of troubleshooting has it run into?
So artificial intelligence has some difficulty identifying what specific images are. So there's been a database released of about 7,500 images that AI is constantly getting stuck on. And some of these are pretty hilarious, actually. So a dragonfly, for example, AI will see as a sea lion. Now, we will look at a dragonfly and definitely not see a sea lion, but what artificial intelligence happens to be doing is looking for clues, looking for background clues as to what this thing might be. And if there's anything in the background that looks like where a sea lion might live, that's it. Your dragonfly is a sea lion.
So why is it making these mistakes? Like, do researchers know why the technology is falling short, or how to rectify it is really the better question.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to describe this is it's like optical illusions for computers is the problem that's being encountered here. And it's actually really good that this is being discovered because it means it can be dealt with. You know, AI and machine learning running into problems is never a bad thing. It's always an opportunity to improve on it, really. So what they're finding is that there's a bit of an over-reliance on detecting clues like colour and texture and background. So, say, for example, a cat in a tree, the AI will identify as a squirrel. Or, you know, stacks of corn on top of each other, they might look at and go, oh, they're ladybirds. Or, you know, a mushroom pulled out of the ground and laid across a piece of wood, it will identify as a nail. So there's too many contextual clues being picked up by the artificial intelligence, but researchers are working on making it smarter. So it should be good in the future.
We certainly hope so, Ray.
Definitely.
Because, well, I like that our eyes are still better, even though we're kind of making the AI, I don't know, complex. Thanks so much for coming on.
No worries. Thanks for having me.